The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Bill Rice is a veteran United States Air Force counter-espionage officer who has become a builder of organizations, a social media and digital marketing expert, and an entrepreneur. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Excited to have you on. Tell us about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, sure. From a work standpoint, I mean, I've been doing digital marketing, agency type work, marketing type work for 30 plus years. Prior to that, as you mentioned, served in the Air Force, did counterintelligence, counterespionage. I always say it sounds far sexier on the outside than it does on the inside. There's a lot of bureaucracy and getting approvals. But there were some seeds in that early kind of military background that led me to kind of do the things that I do. Military gives you a lot of discipline. One that really emphasizes the fact that the military, you kind of, especially as an officer, you kind of lead the team you're given, which I think is a sort of counterintuitive to a lot of the folks in the commercial sector, and even kind of the way that we just sort of churn and burn employees and team members these days, it seemed like. Transitioned through the revolving door, continued to do intelligence as a contractor, and then eventually walked into the banking world. And then that's where I got deep into digital marketing. And again, there's a little bit of a thread there. A lot of what I was doing in the military and in intelligence agencies was kind of early information warfare, which in the most kind of common sense is just taking what we did for counterintelligence and moving it online, because that's where our adversary, so to speak, started to transition and operate. But that was in some ways similar to patterns and analytics and looking at things digitally to understand how consumers and how business people trying to make decisions increasingly went to the internet and started to try to seek out and interact and transact online. And so that's kind of what led me into marketing. Also a little bit different probably, and just to kind of tie it all up in a bow, than the average sort of agency owner and even digital marketing person. I don't come out of a creative background, as you might see. So a lot of my strengths have been business development, sales, organizational building, team building, leadership, and sort of building the organization and fueling it and then pulling in creative people to operate it. But I really liked the agency model early on because to the point of kind of what we talk about here, it gave me a lot of flexibility with life and priorities that weren't always sort of commercially aligned. So that's been a blessing over the last 30 plus years and as an agency owner.
Yeah, I have to imagine. I never thought about that in the military, you have to lead the team that you're given. You can't necessarily just fire them and bring new folks in.
Yeah, we didn't get a bunch of resumes and get to interview folks. We showed up with our new assignment and they're like, this is your team. Here's your objective. We have this level of expectations. Like, it's your responsibility to get us there and achieve. And no one really kind of, that was the other sort of thing, you know, for folks that were, you know, above you or higher command, or they never really gave you the deference to say, hey, give it a good try and we'll see how it is. It's like, no, do this. You know, it's kind of the old, the classic Yoda, do. There's
no try, do.
Right. So anyway, so yeah, I think that gave me a lot of skills. I think it gives a lot of military people a little bit of an advantage in leadership and organizational development and just kind of achieving. We're not, we tend to come out not terribly particular about our circumstances, but we've got a purpose and a passion. We'll kind of run through walls for you.
I think it is fascinating to me that I've been friends with and interacted, had podcast episodes with folks that talk about military life and experience for a really long time. And I've never connected those dots that you don't get to pick these folks. You need to complete the mission with the material, in this case, the people that you have. That's a huge differentiator.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it was fun. I mean, I think that's why a lot of times, us old veterans sit around and we've got so many stories because there's so many characters, so many situations and circumstances. And so, to a large degree, it's fun. Even though at moments it's not fun, but you look back on it and again, you kind of, you feel some pride and being able to accomplish some things and have some fun. And hopefully enrich some people's lives along the way.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate all of that. So you go on to grow this really successful mortgage company and probably all sorts of different industries, but you've also had success in just starting a church from scratch and helping that to grow as well.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun adventure, and it's still highly active in the same church. Actually, it's gone through a couple transitions. We planted it from scratch. There was a pastor friend of mine. We tell the story sitting at a Coney Island in Michigan, he and I were talking, and I just kind of felt this. Not to kind of get into all the details, but I had this sense or this presence that like we should start a church, something that's a little bit different and maybe a little cliche now. I think a lot of people say this, but like a church for people that don't normally go to church was really kind of the sort of calling that I felt. So anyway, I talked to a pastor friend of mine. And I was like, hey, have you ever thought about starting a church? And he's like, absolutely not. That sounds like a horrible idea. And I was like, well, and again, I'm not a pastor. I'm not trained, but I did have like a really strong sense that this is like something that needed to be done, particularly in Michigan, because Michigan Christians are. I always describe them as, and I've lived all over. I've lived coast to coast and in the South, and I was like, in kind of Michigan, people are sort of apathetic. So there's no like opposition, like morally and spiritually to Christianity, but they were just kind of apathetic. So I felt like there was something that, kind of needed to be doing anyway. So I said, hey, I'm going to do this thing with or without you. And he probably thought I was crazy because I had no training, and he's like, all right, we'll do this thing. And really kind of what we leveraged early on and made it a rapidly sort of growing organization and church was digital marketing, because that's what I knew. Like I didn't, the typical sort of church planning approach is very relational, very, bring one, invite one kind of thing. And it's very sort of organic, but just not what I knew, and so not necessarily what I thought I brought to the table. So we went straight to Facebook, and we did a digital marketing campaign. We told our story, and we got our message out there, and we rented a high school gym and set a date literally 2 weeks after we had this conversation. So again, we did everything wrong in the church planning world, but we had 250 people show up. And from there, we built a church that was attending at a single campus, well over a couple thousand. And then ultimately, we merged that into a larger multi-campus church up here, 242, which has got, I think, seven campuses now, two of which were LifeBridge, which is the one we started, two of which they incorporated our campuses. So we grew it to a couple campuses, and then we merged with a larger entity. But again, a little bit of a side hustle. Like I never, I was never employed by the church, never sort of officially part of that. It didn't change, my life, but the way that I have done things and the way that I've sort of built my work life and agency, I had the margin to kind of fully contribute to that. So anyway, a fun piece of the journey. So if you look at my resume, it's pretty obvious that I get bored pretty quickly, and I like diversity, and I'm curious, and I like to try kind of new things. So that was a fun journey. And again, like continue to be involved with the church, but not at that level. So
yeah. A man of varied interests. I totally get it, Bill. So when you look at an organization and you say, okay, I guess I'm asking the question the wrong way. Does it matter what kind of an organization it is? Do you think you can grow it regardless of what it is or what it does?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think, there's always constraints, right? And so when you have an organization, I think there's a couple things. When I look at shaping or scaling or growing something, I'm a big fan, and I often sort of reflect first on, let's take a look at what our raw materials are. What are our assets? What do we have? And then very closely after that, so I just want to know what we have available to work with, resources, skills, something that's already working, something that we can leverage off, whether it's an organization or building a church or whatever. Again, very similar, at least in my mind, very similar patterns. So I want to see, what do we have to work with? And then the second thing is I want to know very clearly, what is the purpose and the mission? What are we trying to achieve? So in the church context, we were trying to achieve, we weren't trying to be, and this made us different, and probably spurned a little bit of tension, but we weren't trying to get.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
People that normally go to church. We weren't trying to get people to come to our church versus another church. So we weren't sort of competing in the classical sort of commercial business sense of things. In my mind, we were trying to generate, new folks from demand that existed, people that were curious, people that had maybe been distanced from church. I mean, probably our number one demographic were people who had, as a child, experienced a divorce of their parents, and then everybody just stopped going to church. So there was no like fracture or, negative connotation to church. They'd just been distanced from it. So then that once we have that, we look at the folks that we have, we make sure that we're clear on what we're going to kind of do. In our case, we went out because we were generating or attempting to generate a new audience. We felt very comfortable marketing what we had that was different. And we do the same thing. So agency, I love going into new organizations, whether it's B2C or B2B. Mortgage lending, I've been in a lot of mortgage lenders. The interesting thing about mortgage lending is it is essentially a commoditized product, right? Any mortgage will do if you want to buy a house. Any mortgage will do if you want to refinance your house. But there's a lot of character and there's a lot of personality in these lenders. It could be technology, it could be personality, it could be the experience. And being able to take that and say, okay, our purpose is to kind of attract these sorts of folks, and then let's build some campaigns specifically to fuel our sales team with those type of conversations. Again, it's a very repeatable process. What are my raw materials? What are my strengths? I'm going to emphasize that to achieve whatever the purpose is. And I want to be very clear and comfortable that the purpose is the purpose. Like, I don't want to just go out there and, generate loans. I don't want to just go out there and build a church, full of random people. Like, I want it to have some sort of differentiating purpose. And then we all understand and we get behind that. And then you leverage the skill. Like, it's perfect example in the church sense, like leverage the skills. Like, I didn't have the skills. I'm not a relational person. I'm an introvert. I'm not your guy that's going to go out there on a Sunday and shake hands and greet everybody. But man, if you want me to put a message out on the internet and get people excited about it, I know how to do that. So that was my skill set. That's what I brought to the table. And I didn't try to do something that was different from that. So that's a kind of a very tangible example of using your raw materials. I was there. I had some skills. So that's the way we did it. Could we have done it a different way? Absolutely. People do it all the time. But anyway, that's a little bit of a sort of tangible example, I guess.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that's perfect. As technology changes and evolves, do you think has that structure, what you just laid out, does that hold up, or has technology changed that?
Yeah. And I think this is where it's key to, like, if you have a sense of philosophy around the way that you do things or the way that you build organizations or team members, I think that can really help you navigate these. So, you know, obviously, AI has been transformational in the last couple of years, probably for most of us that have just started to realize these things here, maybe the last 6 months. So one of the things I've noticed is I get in here and I use AI and I leverage it. Obviously, in the digital marketing, it's a big factor. What I'm finding is that it will make you more efficient if you get effective at it, and it can be effective at what you're doing. I think this is where the philosophy kicks in. If your philosophy is, I'm just going to do more, and I'm going to leverage this to just do more and be more productive, which I think is the general narrative, then I think it'll consume you, it'll stress you, it'll get you in the rat race. What I think for most leaders in particular, even, you know, folks that are doing the day-to-day work, is it gives you more margin. Right. So I can do the same amount. I can deliver the same amount of value. I can do the same amount of work, whether it's building content, helping me to build campaigns, even build out and write sort of campaign briefs or strategy briefs. It gives, you know, I can do a strategy brief in 30 minutes, whereas before I would sit, I would think, I would research, I would use my experience, and it would probably take me, you know, 3 or 4 hours, even as an experienced digital marketer. So then the question becomes, what do you do with that margin? And I think the best use of that margin is to turn back and spend more time with your people. So, you know, just like, you know, we talk a lot about remote work. Some people are coming back to the office. And then all of a sudden, we've got this AI thing in here. And I think if you can learn it, be efficient with it, leverage it, make it a focal point of kind of how you execute, and then take that extra margin and then spend more time one-on-one with your people, spend more time skill building, you know, all the way back to the military example. One thing that we did in the military that you rarely see in his organization is when somebody showed up, they TDY'd in, they showed up in your unit, you handed them the standard operating procedure. And it usually was written, and they spent some time with it. And then you worked with them to train them. Like, nobody went to the field before they were trained, and nobody had expectations of executing until they had some base level of training. And they were probably skilled when they transferred in your unit, but your unit might have slightly different mission and those sorts of things. So again, in this context, as you get more of this margin, do what most organizations have neglected for years to do and figure out, how can you train new people? How can you bring new skill sets? I'm spending a lot of time now with the folks in my agency and realizing that we've neglected a lot of skill sets, not only what we're doing with AI, but just in general. And so, you know, we're having to close some gaps, and AI and some of these things have allowed me the time to jump in there, support the team, and help to close some of those gaps. So kind of a long dialogue to just say, leverage that margin in a different way. So,
yeah, well, I think it's probably very natural for us to find this new margin to say, okay, I'm just going to do more versus what else could I use this for? And you're advocating that we turn it back inside and refocus on, or go deeper with the people we have, recognize that there are some deficiencies and actually neglected skill sets that we can use these newfound resources on. What are some examples of these skill sets that you said, oh my gosh, we're not doing these well at all?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and some of them are, again, sort of relational, human-type things, soft skills, if you will. So some of the deficiencies that we've seen, or that I've seen as I've spent more time, is so a lot of our organization is focused around account executives. And so these are the people who interact with and work with clients to build strategy, to help with execution, to brief, and to some degree educate, because a lot of times the industries we work with, they don't have large marketing departments. We're actually coming in almost turnkey, and we're supporting a marketing director or CMO, but we're kind of strategy to execution, full service. So a couple of those skills are dealing with conflict. So a lot of times those organizations don't understand exactly what we're doing, or they have a different level of expectation as to how fast we can do things and stuff like that. And, you know, I've found that a lot of times our folks don't feel confident going into those discussions, don't go confident into being able to push back a little bit on expectations and say, yes, we're going to get there, but it's going to take us a few weeks, or this is what the journey is going to look like, because they themselves haven't had the time to really kind of think about, like, oh, I've got five clients here. They all sort of go through a common journey when we start versus kind of where we'll get them to and stuff like that. So they haven't really documented that. They haven't really thought about it. So a lot of times they're going into this kind of tension brand new, even though, again, it's a pattern that we can talk about and we can document. The other thing is just strategy. Again, because especially an agency, we're trying to get maximum efficiency. That's how agencies make money. I mean, we're essentially, we bring in, you know, high quality talent. We try to compensate them well, but we've got to get a little bit of margin there. So we've got to have some efficiency built into that system. And now all of a sudden we have some opportunities to give them a little stress relief. And so teaching them to use the tools to figure out how to, you know, I talked about the margin that I've been given, but then I realized, like, I wasn't teaching them how to get that same margin and what they're doing at their level, even to including just not giving them the tools. Like, you know, I have a paid version of ChatGPT, but my team didn't. Like, that was just an oversight, right? And we need to close that gap, teach them how to use it so that they can grab some more margin, so they can think deeper about strategy. They can spend more time and turn more time into personally interacting with the client, time that they didn't have before. So there's a whole bunch of different, those are just a couple of the ones that are, you know, seem to be the kind of the biggest pain points right now.
Which makes perfect sense. And why would we think that just because somebody is a human being operating in the world that they would be comfortable with interpersonal conflict having tough conversations? The kinds of conversations that you learned how to do so many years ago back in the Air Force when you did not get to choose your teammates and you needed to make it happen with the people that you had. So
yeah, totally. And it's and again, it's, you know, we say conflict, it's tension, and a lot of that just has to do with confidence. Like, that's the other thing, is turning to your team, building them up so that they feel secure and confident in your organization so that they can take some risk. They can push a little bit. They, it's okay if we, you know, I say this all the time, you know, it's okay if, like, we don't have a client that fits, or we lose a client, or you make a mistake, and just giving them that confidence that, hey, if something goes really wrong here, and I've, you know, done my best, obviously, you know, there's times when, you know, performance is a factor, but, you know, when we tried our best, that the organization will have their back and will support them. And, you know, so that's, confidence is a huge thing. Just making them feel like they're in a safe place to work hard, to perform at the top, and to take some risk on the margins.
Which makes so much sense hearing you say it. So we all need to be reminded oftentimes more than we need to be instructed. So this is great. Well, Bill, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the fun things that I like to do is I think a lot of times executives and leaders need to just have a little bit of a curated, like, what's going on? What are the trends? What should I be paying attention to? So my newsletter, myexecutivebrief.com, is a great way to see that curation. All my content sort of flows through there as I'm talking about these different topics that we've talked about today. So that's a great way to sort of just stay tuned in to what I'm doing. If you want to get involved with my organization, or you want to talk to me directly, BillRiceStrategy.com is the website. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if you search Bill Rice, I was there pretty early and I'm pretty active. If you want to directly, connect with me or talk to me, LinkedIn is a kind of a straight shot to my attention. So.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Bill your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find Bill at BillRiceStrategy.com. Get on that newsletter, MyExecutiveBrief.com, so you can stay up on all the trends in the industry and everything else that Bill is working on, and then get to him directly via LinkedIn. I will certainly put all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Bill.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Message and data rates may apply. Or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.